sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while.
But quite clearly you're wrong.
He stands between me and any trouble I'm causing.
You worms, that you. Don't chicken lips me. Interesting to talk about for change.
Do you know how many margaritas I had in Vegas last year?
Do you?
Don't you yawn. Do not yawn.
You're with Evie and Lee here for this lovely Tuesday afternoon. Thanks for joining us. Looking outside, it's daytime. And... Hello, Evie. How are you today?
Drive up here in the dark, do you? We've got a couple of really good things on the show today, Lee. We've got things you can do and things to give for Father's Day. We've also got we're going to take people through the Royal Show. That's starting this Friday. And we've got some really unique ways to manage chronic pain. Now, talking pain, Lee, you yes. know both you and I have had our own pains this week with your mob. Port, season's come to an end.
We're talking AFL football.
Yeah.
Yep. Thank goodness. It was a slow, painful death.
Yeah. And well, with me, it was our boys are missing out on an opportunity for the double chance. We finished fifth on the ladder. We blew it. We absolutely blew it.
You had all the chances in the world. I can't help to think you took your eye off the ball, so to speak. And I think you maybe missed the opportunity that you could have had. I think there's a big difference now between finishing in the top four and finishing in the bottom four. Nobody gets through in the bottom four.
I am cringing.
You are?
I'm grimacing.
So your first final is at home.
It will be, yes, on the Saturday night, the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
And we are playing eighth on the ladder, which is North Melbourne.
Who can't get themselves out of a wet paper bag at the moment.
Well, I didn't think that was going to happen with West Coast, so I say nothing. but hopefully we'll move on. I don't know how far we can go. You know, the last time anyone come from this position and won a grand final was, of course, the Crows.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. And then followed it up the following year. So anything's possible.
But it wasn't the eight then, was it? It was something different.
No, I don't know.
However.
It was a dud. It's not fairly. We had two games away, six-day breaks. We did our grand final here is, you know, when Port and Crows play, it's to the death.
It is.
It's to the death.
Yeah.
And we had to go to Perth. Like, you know, over there in the east, when they do their little planning, they plan it very well, I think.
I don't think it's a fair competition generally. But having said that, you know, a team's got 22 games to sort themselves out. If you're going to make an excuse for the way you play on the last game of the year, I think you haven't planned your year too well. So as a general rule, I don't think you can really have too much to complain about.
No, you can't. Poor people, you'll just have to wait till next year. Anyway, on something a bit more exciting, the Paralympics start on the 7th of September.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Do you know there's 23 sports, 528 events and 21 venues that these amazing athletes take part in.
Mm.
They're unbelievable.
I was surprised, actually. I was looking this up in the last week or so, and there's no category for Down syndrome. They have to compete in the categories that are set with all the others. And I would have thought that they would have had a category of their own. So Australia at the recent Down syndrome games won an absolute heap of gold medals.
Are you saying there's a separate games altogether just for Down syndrome?
There is.
They're not part of the... Because isn't cerebral palsy and that part of the...
That's part of this.
The Paralympics. The
Paralympics,
yep. Oh, there must be some line that's delineating and deciding on this. So I don't know.
So, yeah, I was surprised. They had one of the Australian athletes on there talking about it, and he was, you know, rather disappointed that he would have to compete against an able body in a slightly different capacity. It really gave them no chance to compete.
It's odd, isn't it? I didn't realise that. I also didn't know that our Paralympians always finish in the top five. They have since 1992.
They come home with a bag full of gold, don't they?
Don't they? And there's a couple of people to look out for this one coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Daniela Di Toro, she's changed from being a wheelchair tennis player to a table tennis player. So, and she won bronze and silver in the wheelchair games. And she's also excited about a couple of young members. They're only 14. Isis Holt and swimmer Tiffany Thomas-Kane, and they're representing the event's newest sports. There's two new sports. One's para triathlon and para canoe. They're big asks, but these people are just amazing. They're absolutely some of the finest athletes you could sit and watch.
They put the heavy work in, don't they? And I don't think, I don't recall ever seeing a tested athlete go positive in the Paralympics.
No.
So that to me makes that a pretty clean games, and therefore it's a pretty fair competition, isn't it? Which is that's what we all want to see.
Yeah, we do want fair competition, and so AFL, are you listening? We want a fair competition, and this is my song to me, and unfortunately for you, Lee, ain't gonna happen. Now, Libby, didn't you go wandering off somewhere into the distant wild of the back blocks of Adelaide with some mates recently?
I did, actually, and that's where we went about last week. So I hopped in a car with them and we went up to just short of Arkaroola, and there's ranges there called the Gammon Ranges.
So when, if you're not a local and, you, yep. and you're listening to us from OOS or interstate, give me an idea of where that is on our map.
Well, we're basically talking into the outback.
Left, north, south, east,
so we're
west.
Talking straight up north, and yep. we're probably going north for about 8 hours. So it's a fair old drive.
Yeah. Arkaroola's got like some kind of big farm thing happening there, and that also, isn't it, Arkaroola?
Well, there's what do they call it when you see the stars, and those observatories. They've got a massive observatory there, and it's one of the places you go and see all the stars. So anyway, we finished, and what they grow out there is rocks.
Yes, I've been out there.
Lots and lots of rocks.
Yep.
so this mountain range out there is absolutely massive. It's much bigger than the Flinders Ranges, much more spectacular. We're talking sheer cliffs. They go up like 150 metres.
Out there? We all assume it's all flat, don't we?
Yeah.
The outback's just flat here in Australia, but it's not.
And the same range basically runs from up through Port Pirie, as we know, the lower Flinders Ranges, up through Blenheim into the high. You've got Arkaroola, and you can even push on into Alice Springs, and it's basically the same type of mountain range that's up there through Alice Springs. Anyway.
I do like that. That's the Olga, isn't that? Or is that further up?
Yeah, well, that's out there as well.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
Out by Ezra.
And what took you out there? And where did you actually go?
Okay, so what we go out there for is, as a group of mates, we go walking quite regularly.
Yeah.
Or at least once a year we do a trip out there.
Yeah.
So we wanted to go somewhere basically inaccessible.
Yeah.
So we lobbed our car at a certain point, jumped in the car. We had just a map and compass, and we went walking. We were heading for this place called Rover Rock Hole. We got to clamber up mountains and down and through things and up and put yourself on a ledge and edge your way around till you get to this top of a waterfall.
Oh, wow. So did you have to use like your grappling hooks and your ropes and all that? Or is
Not that extreme. But, you know, it gets the heart pumping, no problem about that. And then we spent 4 days out there just wandering around. This place is called The Terrace, and some chasms that we visited, and up and down. It's really terrific. The fact that there's nobody else out there makes it, and there's no tracks, you know, you're just doing your own things. I got to see the rare yellow-footed rock wallaby, which has been reintroduced out there, which was quite spectacular. Eagles, there's lots of eagles about, and in the creek we were staying, these three eagles come swooping just across the top of us as they'll come through the creek line.
Oh, my God, are you serious? That would be absolutely spectacular. Yeah. And I would think the night sky would be something pretty, pretty special as well.
Beautiful. It rained on the last day, but all that did was bring the creeks up, bring the waterfalls flowing, so we actually got to see the best of everything. The wildflowers were all out, so beautiful colour through that region. Last time I went there was basically drought conditions. So to see it with water, with the wildflowers and with the colour was spectacular. The animals that were out there, now that's surprising. What would you think would be the most common animal you'd see out in the outback there?
Roo.
You'd think so.
Yeah, or a dingo.
Rarely did I see a roo.
Mm-hmm.
Emus. There were just hundreds of emus.
Really?
Yeah.
That they can attack.
Well, they can, but they don't want to be near you, really, if you cornered one.
Well, you know, we went through a little trip somewhere and we were in a car and there's a bunch of emus. Well, they came over to that car and they were jibber-jabbing at my window and that.
Is that right?
They were horrifying. They sort of like surrounded the car.
They were hungry. You had something, you were eating hamburgers at the time.
Probably sitting there, probably sort of going, nah, 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 nah. I love the outback of Australia. Have you gone to, I was going to call it Ayers Rock, which you don't call Uluru. It anymore, Uluru. Have you managed to get up that far as well?
I have. When I went there, it actually snowed on the rock.
They reckon snow? That,
now, I don't know how they know this, but they say it's the first time it snowed on the rock for 300 years. Now, that was probably, let's say, 10 years or so ago.
Wow.
So the day we went out, the maximum and minimum was the same temperature, and that was 3. And it was spectacular because as it hit, it basically created waterfalls off of the rock. It was spectacular.
You've
been out there?
You've outdone me with the snow. I was going to tell you about what I saw, but did not do the snow. We were there one day, dry as dry, mm. right? Wake up next morning, pouring rain, and the whole rock had waterfalls pouring off it.
Spectacular, isn't it?
It's stunning. And we went on a trip around, and we had an Aboriginal man take us and tell us all about the story, and also an Aboriginal woman, because there were different areas where men could go in and women couldn't, and that. And I remember walking through that, and the water in that short time was up to my waist.
Oh,
in
wow.
certain areas around that rock.
Oh, so did you climb?
Yes, we did. That's when, I don't know if you're allowed to anymore,
I don't think you are.
Because remember there was that little bit of railing, then there's no railing, then there's railing. And the person I was with when we were just at the very top freaked.
Oh, too late now.
Yeah, no, she stopped. And the earring came off her ear and it went plummeting down, and that was the end of her.
Well, that's how they reckon most people have died on there, is chasing things that have fallen off, and generally hats.
Yeah, and really?
They just chase after their hat and whoop,
tap, bang, ding, 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 ding.
Do you know what I found most, the loveliest to climb out that way was Kings Canyon? Have you climbed up and around
it's
there?
Absolutely beautiful. Actually, I want to go through, I don't know, have you done Upper Western Australia?
The Kimberleys.
And that beautiful water chasms that they've got going through. I really, really want to go and see that and enjoy that. I haven't done that, and I haven't had the opportunity to go to Broome at all. So I've missed all of WA in that top area there, because our country's quite spectacular, the way it goes from, you know, beach to snow to whatever, you know, like we've just got it all, and we've got the deserts. I love going on the river, the Murray River, and houseboating.
Well, I was actually up at Renmark over the weekend, and it's just Renmark is a very pleasant place, and
beautiful. The people,
I'm amazed at the people. They're so friendly, so happy, and we just had the most terrific time. So I love that. The other thing, while we were talking about up around Alice Springs Way, I did the Larapinta Trail, which was only 3 or 4 years ago. And the interesting thing about that is the Heisen Trail, which runs the length of the southern part of South Australia, well, around by Deep Creek, Cape Jarvis, up to, Angarichina, which is around near Blinman Way, that basically follows a friendly route through. Whereas Larapinta was actually built for sites. So what they've done is they've taken you to the highest peaks all the way through the range. So the work to get there is, of course, extreme, because you're climbing up and down all the time. But the views on there are just magnificent. I mean, that's probably one of the hardest walks I've done. But
You also did, what was the big one that you did?
I did Kokoda last
year.
Yeah,
the Kokoda.
Yeah.
That would have been pretty awesome.
Oh, that was, without doubt. But that was emotionally as well as physically. So there's a lot to do with Kokoda.
You're a bit of an adventurer, aren't you, Darren?
Well, there you go.
Well, you know how I had that can't wait for September, because it relates to my footy team and not yours.
Thank you.
I thought I'd play a song for you. You're listening to Evie and Lee here at 88.9 FM Hills Radio. Lee, during the week I saw an article about, and it really sort of threw me, there's a person dies once a week from opiate overdosing due to chronic pain. So these people are in so much pain that they're obviously taking the medication, and they're trying to get over it. And I thought, wow, that's huge numbers. And I thought, well, how many people actually suffer from pain? Well, apparently 80 to 85% of over 65s, just going for that number, suffer from some kind of pain. And I thought to myself, well, what can we do? Like, I know we've got medication and that helps, but what else can we do to maybe try and move, you know, move it along a bit so we're not so reliant on the medication. And I came up with a couple of things, and I think you'll know some of them. You know, acupuncture is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes. that works really well because I did acupuncture when I had a sciatic nerve problem. Before I did the acupuncture, I was in actual crutches. I was on crutches. I was on so much pain, I'd had a lot of other stuff done because it was just from my knee and it just threw me all out. And I went for, I think it was 5 sessions. The guy promised me by the 5th one it'll be thing, and I think by the 3rd one I had relief, and by the 4th one it was great.
That was with acupuncture.
That was with acupuncture. Mm. So acupressure can be something. A lot of people are scared of needles. So you can still do acupressure as well.
So what we're talking about here is to get away from the drugs. So you're looking at an alternative.
Or work
to,
with them.
Two drugs. Or as you say, work with them.
And, and just so you don't, these poor people in so much pain that they keep taking it and taking it and not realising it. Because as you take opiates, you can actually, your brain starts not working that well and confusion can set in and you might take more than you need. So if we can either work with it and do something to alleviate some of the pain or try and remove it without medication if you can. Mm. And there are different ways. As I said, there's that. Funnily enough, For rheumatoid arthritis, they always say watch your diet, right? It's important that
This is an interesting one, isn't it? Because there's the medicos say it's nothing to do with diet, but our experience tells us, from the industries we've been involved in, that diet plays a big part in every part of our life.
Absolutely.
And no different to do with pain and suffering either.
And no offence with the medical fraternity, this is actually out of one of their journals, but it's a rheumatology journal. It's not your overall doctor's one.
Right.
So it's that particular vein of people reading about that. And this is where I sometimes think our medicine goes out the window because we all look at each other as, like, we look at each other as a whole. And when you do complementary medicine, you look at the whole person. But when you go to a heart specialist, he'll only talk to you about your heart. Someone else will talk about your weight. Someone will talk about your rheumatoid arthritis. Mm. But what came out of that, and I was really surprised, vegan works in rheumatoid arthritis, vegan diet, and cutting out gluten. So, again, I know there's a big move with getting gluten out with certain people. So if you've got that sort of propensity for building that up in your body and that's leading to rheumatoid arthritis, might be something you need to look at.
The old wheat has got a lot of questions to answer for, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, it only came in because it was cheap to farm. Before it came in, you had your millets and all the other stuff and seeds and that. And unfortunately, is it the fact that if you have 2 slices of bread a day, that'd be a problem? Or is it the fact that some people have 6 to 8?
Well, not only that, everything we do, you eat a pasty, it's made with wheat.
Yes.
And so many things. You have cornstarch to thicken up your soup or whatever you do with it. And it's made of wheat.
Pastas
wheat.
Yep.
And we should say that gluten is in wheat, rye, barley and oats to a lesser degree, but still has gluten in it. So those 4 grains are really the ones we have to watch out for. And apart from rice, they're probably our most popular, aren't they?
Yeah, well, it's your go-to for a quick meal.
Yeah.
And that's what society now is, quick everything.
Mm.
Quick meals, quick exercise, quick responses. Another one which grabbed me, I thought it was a bit odd, but they do say it really helps when you've got, say you've got hand pain. If you cross your arms during the periods of hand pain, somehow that apparently confuses the brain and the result is reducing the intensity. It won't get rid of it, but it will reduce the intensity of that pain because you've crossed over and as you're looking at that one, your brain thinks, hold on, I don't know what's going on.
That's an interesting thing
isn't
to know,
weird?
Isn't it? That's really strange.
There's that one and there's another one, mirror therapy. And it's along the same lines. This is bizarre. Now, you're going to have to listen, all right? Don't yawn.
Oh, no.
Don't be starting to glaze over.
The young people of today, they know all about mirror therapy.
You mean the old people of their day used it in the wrong way. Never works on the ceiling, people. or does it? Painful arthritic right hand, right? So you've got that, right? Place it on the table. And you position a mirror in front of it so that your forearm and hand can't be seen, right? So somehow you put a mirror there.
Okay.
Right, you've got the mirror there, right? Then someone with healthy hands, now this sounds bizarre, this has been proven, someone with healthy hands comes behind you, then they put their left hand down on the table so you can see it in the mirror. right?
Right.
So you look in the mirror and the person's got their left hand down, right?
Right.
Slowly that person opens and closes their left hand. You mimic it with your right one that's hidden, yep. right, while they're doing the left one, while you're looking at the mirror. Astonishingly, it tricks the brain into perceiving your own hand as healthy, and it dramatically lowers the pain associated with movement. Believe it or not.
Well, that's got a strange edge to it, but...
Isn't it weird?
If it's been reported and it's been tested...
It has. And it shows you that our brain has a lot to do with our healing.
We are a mind over matter beast.
We are. It does matter. Like you can do meditation to help you over pain. You can do that. What's that called? In the moment stuff. Imagination. You know, guided visualization is while you're there and you're.
How many times? Here's a good example. How many times do you have a really shocking cold or flu, but you're too busy? You actually have to get out and do things. Well, by the time you get busy concentrating on what you're doing, it's amazing. You could be lying in bed with a feeling crook. Instead, you're out there, you're actually working, and it just seems to pass you by. The mind doesn't worry about it so much, does it?
But then what happens? Then you stop and the brain goes, now I've got you, and lays you out for a week.
Oh, well, I'm not talking about excessive, you know, like...
Excessive.
I've been listening to Bruce too much on the Olympics. That's what it is. Special.
And nothing else. What else? Take a break too. You don't have to be brave and go through your pain. You are allowed to have a 24-hour break from putting up with it. You know, just rest it. But you're not allowed to sit there for 24 hours and not move because you'll find it just gets painful again. And you'll find about every 10 minutes, sort of slow movement.
Controversially, this medical marijuana. Now, they're testing this.
Yes.
Where are they testing? Somewhere in Australia. ACT, I think, aren't they?
I'm not sure it's there in Queensland. Is it ACT? Probably ACT. Yeah, they always get the jump on everyone else.
Yeah, I think they are. So that might be a really interesting thing down the track. And we're not talking about, you know, growing your own. We're talking about medical marijuana here. So don't jump on the phones too quickly. Yeah. And I've got to say, like, and to preempt what we are talking about, we both have a background in natural therapies. And, you know, natural therapies have their problems, but... I don't think there's a death a week happens from natural therapy, so we just have to accept that this can be helpful. It doesn't
Absolutely.
Have to be the total answer. It can be helpful.
Yeah, just
don't have to poo-poo it.
Yeah.
Evie, coming up this Sunday is an event which is just goes by...
Of no consequence.
Completely under the radar. We call it Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
The silent man, he goes about his business. Now, whether reality or not sets in, he feels he needs to take responsibility for his family. So that's what he sweats and that's what he trembles at, lying in his bed at night. You know what? You know what he needs?
Is that what he lies in bed trembling
That's
about?
What he trembles about. And all he needs is a hug and someone to tell him, it's okay, you're doing all right, son.
Should I take my ear things off?
Yeah.
Come around there, give you a hug and say it's okay. That'll do it for you, will it?
That's all the man needs. That's all he needs.
Trouble is, I would believe that if it stopped with the hug.
Well, we're talking about his children giving him a hug for Father's Day, not
his
wife.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, but sometimes you guys expect the wife to come up with a present.
Were you suggesting to me that on Mother's Day you expect the husband to do nothing?
No.
Okay. So.
No, I want him to do stuff on my birthday. It's my day of you can't say no to anything.
No, that's true. That's true. So Father's Day, what's your Father's Day feel? What do you do for Father's Day around your house?
Well, now it's pretty empty little nest. There's only one really. So what we do is try and catch up with a dinner or because everyone's got multiple, you know, like you've got the partners now and you know, the partner's got their dad to go and visit and then
That's true.
It's a bit like Christmas Day really.
It is, very much.
You know, for once your family is extended. But when they were little, there's always that customary jumping into bed and jumping all over dad and giving him the hug. Do you remember
That's
those
true.
Days?
That's
and,
true.
You know, then you bring up that little bit of burnt toast and, you know, a bit of orange juice or something. And
you got to eat breakfast in bed
while
and spill crumbs
watching.
All over the bed.
Yeah. And then they would bring up their little gifts of what they've made at school at that time. But they're pretty good memories. I want to ask you, because we're going to be talking about the show the royal show that is coming up. Do you find that that's a gift, having to take the kids
to the royal show?
To the show?
How is that a gift?
Exactly.
Are you suggesting it's a gift?
Well, I think a lot of mums, they go, you're taking the kids to the show, it's Father's Day.
And no.
I sometimes think of that, and I think that's wrong, because to me, the show was not always the funnest day on earth, taking the kids. So I think maybe a gift would be Dad doesn't have to take them on that day.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. You know what he needs? He doesn't need presents. He wants his children to hang around for a chat. That's all a man wants. And if you got time, let him cook you a barbecue, because, you know, a man would be happy out there cooking you a barbecue. You know, that's what they feel like they need to do. Yeah, you don't need to cook him one.
I do know some that like. I know one that hates cooking. Not mine. Mine's wonderful. Great okay. little cooker. So yeah, what we're saying is, look at your man. It's very obvious what they like. Lee, you're a surfer. They could be a golfer. They could be a fisherman. You know, maybe let them have an afternoon doing something that they rather enjoy.
Well, that's true, but the company is good, though.
Yeah, but you start with the company.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the morning.
Yep.
If they would like a little bit of time out from, you know, like Mother's Day, we always say, I want time out from the washing and the cleaning and the worries of being a mum.
Mm.
I don't think it's any different for a man. He'd like a bit of time out from the pressures of being a dad.
Yeah, probably so.
You know, and that sort of stuff. So maybe like watching games on the afternoon, you know, like sport in the afternoon, or if they're one of those people that likes their little Nintendos or something, or gift-wise, I thought for kiddies, you know what I thought would be cute? Instead of just turning up with the breakfast with the burnt toast and that, why not make a little picnic basket of his favourite little things to eat and delivering that to him in bed?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
You know, from the little kiddies and that, or a mini book of Dad's favourite things to do, get them to sort of, you know, do a little drawing each, you know, and just collate that and say, this is my dad or something like that.
I've still got pictures that my kids have done for me up on my wall.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're the best artwork I've got.
Isn't that? Yeah, see, and they all mean something, don't they? Mm, mm. But what about if you're an older person? What if you're, you know, what if your dad's sort of, you know, over the 70s or something like that? What about a moustache cap? I was thinking...
A what?
A moustache cup. You can go to in, you know, like a... I was thinking, you know how the moustaches are in and beards and that. You can go into one of those little, what are they called? Antique
shops.
Stores. And you can buy a cup where the moustache is kept out of the tea.
Yeah, where's that going to get kept, do you reckon, that moustache cup?
With the drawings?
up in the cupboard with all the other rubbish.
Well, you come up with something unique.
Well, I'll tell you, I said to my daughter, she rang me today and said, what can I send you over from England? And I said, I don't want anything. I don't want anything. My present is that you don't send me anything, that you don't spend any money. Dad, I'm going to send you something. You just got to tell me what you want. Oh, so I thought about it. Look, just send me a book. All I want is a secondhand book. I don't care. And she's looked up on Amazon. I want the Charles Darwin theory of whatever the world or whatever. So she's looked up. She says, that's only $5. So what else do you want? I can't win that one.
We've got all the little secrets about show bags and the show, which is opening this Sunday. No, this Saturday. This Friday. See how excited I am about the show.
I can see
that
you
I
are.
Don't even know what day it opens.
So, what day are you going, Eve?
Oh, that. When are you going? Because it's not that day.
No. My dad always used to take us on Tuesdays. That's the day he could take off his business.
Yeah.
And so Tuesdays was always our day.
Ours was always whatever the kids were like, you know, the pupil-free day.
Yeah, sort of whatever you were given.
You know the biggest thing I ever did that? I ended up packing up a whole bunch of kids on a bus for my daughter's 13th birthday and we all went to the show. I loved it.
I'm sure.
Loved it.
There's great things to do at the show.
I mean, particularly
being out here in like Mount Barker.
Yeah.
You know, all the animals, all the displays and things that happen, the wood chopping, and that's of real interest to locals, apart from show bags.
Exactly. Well, the show bags are very interesting. But for people, just before we get into all the nitty gritty, the gates open every day at 9 o'clock.
Right.
And they shut, and the carnival attractions, we've got the little ooh, 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 that little clown that goes ooh, 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 you know, the carnival attractions.
Yeah.
They shut at 10. except Friday and Saturdays is always the midnight thing, and there'd be fireworks then.
Oh, is that right? I think it's fireworks every night.
Yeah, so it'd be around that time. And the only thing you have to be aware of is parking as well. There's parking at the showground itself, but that's $20 for a full day.
Yep, that's not too bad.
No,
for a full
I think
day.
It's good.
Not the rates you pay now.
Exactly, and 10 for half, and then you've got, you can either park in the parklands or the Netball SA Stadium is going to do coach transfers, and they're both available. But everything that I've just said is going to be dependent on the weather. This timing of having it in September is pretty awkward because even the carnival attractions, if the weather's bad, have to shut down. And the same with parking in the parklands.
Do they actually shut down, or they just stop running because no one goes on them?
No, they've got it. Lee, I've even done it, and there's those little boat things, and you've got the little frog things you get out.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, all that sort of. No, it's all weather thing. And for people that have got a disabled sticker and need that sort of ability to get around, the showgrounds have got spots just for you.
And
cost to get in, Lee?
I've got some down.
Yeah.
So $25 an adult.
Yeah.
Children is $16, family is $63. There are some little bonus things you can get, and they've got a good website you can go on. But the discount days are the ones. Now, I always thought it was cheap Tuesday, but it seems as though it's the Wednesday and the Thursday.
Okay.
Is that what you recognise?
I've got a few others too. Like, that's good. So Tuesday and Wednesday, you got cheapies?
No.
Wednesday
and Thursday.
Oh, they've changed it?
Yeah, I always thought it was Tuesdays.
Oh, it's the cheap day then?
Wednesdays and Thursdays.
No, how much?
Oh, so what happens, the only difference is that adults can get in at a child rate of $16.
Oh, that's okay. That's a saving of $9.
Well, 18, yeah, if there's two adults, saving of $18. Yeah.
There's another thing that's going around at the moment, and it's Drake's Foodland and IGA, I think, and they've got ticket prices right across the board that are cheaper. Like, you know how you said the family 63? Well, you can get into at 54, so save $9.
That's not bad.
And you've got also for adult instead of 25, 22. So if you go to any of those, like Foodland, or if you go to IGA or Drake's, you can get some really good deals. Even there's $100 ride coupons, right? Gate price is $100, but you can get at the Drake's price or the Foodland price, $80, and you're saving $20. So it's worth buying from your supermarket.
Particularly if you've got a couple of kids, that's a good saving. Yeah. And that'll also save you waiting in the lineup, won't it?
Exactly. You can just go through. And there's also after 6 o'clock you can get a deal for $12 if you arrive after that time. You just want to do some of the more adult stuff. There's this one thing I do like, and it's a big deal, and I think it's $149, and it's family value, Lee.
Right.
Let me tell you. Right, you ready?
I know, $149 doesn't sound like great value anyway, but...
Two adults or two children.
Yeah.
Food and drinks for four people.
Ooh.
Two $10 show bags, $40 worth of ride coupons, and all-day parking. Ta-da!
Well, that's not bad, because you're going to spend money anyway.
You will.
If you go in there, you want to have a pocket full of cash.
Well, you say to the kids, this is it. This is what we've bought. This is our limit. That's what you've got.
That's all you get. We'll be gone in an hour.
Yeah. Because you know how dear the rides are. You know, like taking the kids there, you always had to almost save up more than for Christmas.
Yeah, I know. The good thing about it, last time I went, the expectation was we were going to do a number of rides. Well, I think the good child had... progressed a little further and in age, and suddenly that ride didn't feel so comfortable. Got away with just one ride. Mind you, I didn't feel so good either. I was a bit shaky by the time I got off.
Oh, which one was that?
Oh, what do they call it? The hurdy-gurdy or something?
Is that the one that spins around? My son went on the one that, you know, locked in the cage, and unfortunately he got hit somewhere that was really uncomfortable for a gentleman as it hit the bar. He came off that looking pretty ill.
Evie, I thought it was really funny on the weekend. I was having a look through a little lift-out section in the Sunday Mail, and they were talking about the show bags, the Royal Show bags, that were under
$15.
Under $15? Yeah, it was pretty...
I looked, went straight $50.
Well, it was a pretty small section, I must say. It's a pretty small pull-out.
Do you know, and you might be aware, and I might be living off the fairies land, we're the only place in the world during the shows that have show bags. It's unique to Australia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, because in the old days, because it used to be that they would... they were sample bags.
Yeah.
They weren't called show bags. They were sample bags, and they give it to you as samples.
Yeah, now they've conned us and we just pay whatever. And because the $50 one by Charlesworth, holy moly. Mind you, I went looking to see one particular item and it was in there.
What's that, chocolate peanuts or something?
Raspberries.
Chocolate raspberries.
Yeah, have you ever seen them?
No.
My son's addicted to them and introduced me to them. And they are delicious.
And now you're addicted.
Well, you know, no, I can't have them in the house, Lee. I am so weak this month because it's been birthday week with not just week, but this month, so many birthdays, right? And, of course, one indulges.
Of course.
You know what? You're going to die when I tell you how much weight I've put on.
You're going to tell everybody, are you?
I don't care.
Okay.
I'll make it disappear in September.
Oh,
2 kilos. Oh.
So that's in a month, is it, you put that on?
2 kilos. It's disgusting.
Yep. Well, some people would be happy to hear that.
And I've had the best time.
Is that right? Well, see, as long as you're not upset about it, then there's no problems.
Oh, the margaritas.
And you wear it well, so it doesn't matter. You get away with it.
Yeah, we just wear baggier clothes.
That's what you do.
It'll go because it really has been a very indulgent month.
Yeah.
So I don't have I know, but when I sort of looked at myself sideways the other night and went, what? What's that?
Well, they all say it's just fluid. That's the standard, isn't it?
Well,
it's just fluid. I'm just
mine's
carrying
getting
fluid.
Hard fluid. And I just looked at myself and I was horrified and I went, oh. And you know how stupid we are? I was so horrified I had to weigh myself to prove the fact that what I already knew, that I'd whacked on weight.
Yeah, that's more depressing.
How stupid of it. And then I get off going, absolutely paying myself out, right? And then go straight downstairs. Well, if I've put on that much and I've still got this to eat, I might as well just eat it.
I was having a chocolate raspberry.
It was actually a rocky road. Because my hubby bought me some for my birthday and I can't say don't.
Well, actually, you've just had a birthday roll by Evie.
I
have. Happy birthday for then.
And I'm just like Benjamin Button and I'm working my way backwards.
You're going backwards.
I'm going backwards. No
so,
more
so 29 now.
Yes, yeah, so 28 next year.
28 next year. Okay, I'll just keep that in mind.
The household is coming in here or something.
Well,
like
I don't know
that.
Any different.
Do you have any favourite show bags?
Well, I know one of the famous ones is the Sunny Boy show bag, and it always runs out.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah. So,
what is it? What's in that one?
Well, so I have to get it for my children and send it over to them.
The Sunny Boy.
The Sunny Boy.
I know Birdie Beetle.
Yeah, I actually bought a Birdie Beetle by mistake and it's still sitting at home a year later.
Do you know what birdies are made from? I would have loved it. My kids love Birdie Beetles. Do you know what they're made from?
It's honeycomb, isn't it?
It's the leftover crumbs when they make violet crumbles.
Oh, is that so?
You know, so it's the shards that come
off.
Yeah. That's how they make it.
I don't like the chocolate on them.
No.
It's got that, you know, some chocolate is nice and some is not so nice.
Yeah, it's funny. Here I am saying I'm not a big fan of chocolate. And yet, what do? Eat a lot of it.
Well, if that's what you like. So I'm just looking up this Sunny Boy one, see whether we can see.
Yeah, you tell me about
it.
That because I don't
what's
know.
Your, what's your favourite show bag?
Oh, I like the ones like Charlesworth or something like that. The ones that have got something I'd normally buy and bring home and share with people.
Foodie type stuff.
Yeah, foodie stuff. There was a really good organic one in there that I read. Mind you, there was a funny one I read and it was a psychic one. And
that's
I don't want to be disparaging of it, but when I read it, I had sort of didn't win me over.
Okay. Is there a vegan one to stop arthritis?
There would be.
Just looking through, I can't see it at the minute.
But that mightn't be in that one because sometimes these are the ones that are the favourites.
This is your list. You've got a lot of things circled. What day? Oh, you're going to be one of these people that have piles of show bags in each arm.
I tell you what.
And they've got Cadbury's, Charlesworth. Dad's chocolate bag. They're all of those. Daryl Lee.
I did Scooby-Doo for you.
Oh, did you just?
Doctor Who. There's some beauties in that.
No. Well, there you go. You can't even... This is how popular it is. You can't even buy the Sunny Boy one. It's run out before it even starts.
Oh, we're going to have to take a break, Lee.
All right.
Lee, oh, look at that. You know what happens when you turn up those buttons? People out there can hear.
Okay.
So you're glad with that?
Yeah, good.
Okay, let's start again.
What were you saying?
Hey, Lee. You know, I was looking at Father's Day gifts the other day.
Yes.
Because, you know, Father's Day is coming up and we're all trying to find something different. And I came across something and it read so fantastically. And I thought, oh, that would be awesome. And it was a prank from some time ago. And I thought, damn, it would be so cool if it was something real. And it was called Dial a Fish.
Oh, yeah. How does that work?
It was a current affair show called This Day Tonight. Had people rushing out to all the fishing places around Australia and that, because they did a whole program, because it was a, I think it was an April Fool's joke, buy an automatic fishing rod that can be programmed to pull in whatever species the fish the fishermen turn the dial to. So you throw it out and you want carp, not carp, you want barra. You want whiting, and everyone thought it was real and took off. And I thought, how funny is that? And I thought, what other Australian pranks have been out there that have set people absolutely ballistic looking up stuff or trying to buy stuff?
Because we are actually a prankster nation, aren't we? We have a really dry sense of humour,
yeah,
which I really love. And you're talking about pranks other than having Mark Latham or Tony Abbott in power. Is that what you're saying?
Or any politician.
We're talking about real pranks.
Yeah, real pranks. You know, like the ones that you used to do yourself. You know, we all know about the short sheeting of the beds and Vaselining the toilet seat or putting Glad wrap over it or something like that. But I thought, gee, I wonder what else is out there that we can lay claim to.
There's a thing going around on Facebook at the moment, and you can get it via YouTube, and it's a classic. It's an Australian lad who's scaring the living daylights out of his father, and he catches him on camera all the time and sneaks up to him and taps him on the shoulder. And the father, he's got a sense of humour, but, you know, all you hear is, "You bastard." And then he scares the living daylights, "You bastard."
So how does he scare his dad?
Oh, you got to check it out.
Oh, because
it just frightens him because he's not expecting him to be there.
Oh, so it just boom, boom.
And it goes on and on and on, and you watch this poor dad. We all laugh at our dads having pain, you know, whether they hurt themselves or whether they get scared, or, you know, it's just very, very funny.
Is that right? Yeah. Do you pull pranks now?
Do I? Given any opportunity, I do.
Do you? What was your last one? Any good ones?
I do have some good ones. I like to keep them in check, though. Mainly,
you don't want to give them out.
Well, mainly people that sell cars. I reckon I can always roll people up on that.
Is that right?
Yeah,
you'll have to let me know. I've got a mate that does that. Maybe you can fill me in and I'll have a bit of fun with
him. Yeah, you can. When I was looking up, though, when we said we were going to talk about pranksters, and there was a fellow called Barry Larkin. This is back in 1956. And he tricked the mayor of Sydney into accepting a fake Olympic torch.
I saw that.
During the relay. So what happened? This fake torch was actually made of a wooden chair leg that was painted silver and had a plum pudding on the top of it. The flame was created when they put some kerosene on top, and it was soaked in underpants.
I know. How could you know? How blind was the mayor?
Yeah, well, it took him a little while to catch on, I think. Like, that was
seriously,
a funny
it
thing.
Was like a tin with underpants in it. Like, seriously. Oh, this one is probably inappropriate these days because everyone's so politically correct, but it made me laugh, and I've heard about this one before.
Yeah.
And it's where people that were coming into Australia, they were being warned about the drop bear.
Oh, yeah. I never knew where this drop bear came from. It's just suddenly appeared.
I don't know, but it's a large, vicious, carnivorous marsupial, and he's related to the koala, and he drops from trees on tourists, and they particularly target people with foreign accents. That's Australian humour.
And it is, and tourists don't know it, and they always get we always seem to stir them up about it. I reckon it was on one of those beer commercials at one stage.
Oh, it might have been too. Mind you, they've scared enough coming here, because when you look up what to be worried about here, we've got the most poisonous snakes, we've got the most poisonous spiders. Because I remember being on a flight when we were away last year, talking to a guy who's from South America, from Mexico and that, and he said, oh, he's never coming here. Oh. And I said, why not? And he said, because if your spiders are deadly, your snakes, and you've got sharks and all that. And I looked at him and I went, and you've got drug lords.
That's right.
And he started laughing. But I thought, fancy being that frightened. But that's, if you read it, you'd be scared.
Absolutely. Oh, we're in our last little section. Time goes so quickly in life. Anyway, next thing, Father's Day will be finished. Evie, a Mount Barker man, goes by the name of Edwin Daly. Now, he's a local fellow. He's a volunteer for the local church, does good things for people. And it's nice to know that good things happen to good people. He was the man that won $1 million, or as Eddie would say, $1 million, the other night on TV.
Yay, Edwin!
How terrific, isn't that?
Isn't that marvellous? I looked at those questions and I thought, yeah, right. Read them. Okay. Well done, Edward.
Well, yeah, I was looking over. I might have got half a dozen.
Yeah.
But it's the fact you got to get them all in a row.
In order of how they've come up and the pressure of that those people and
at
those
the moment.
Bun- and all that sort of.
Yeah.
But he's looking for, he's going to donate a lot of it.
Well, 10% he's going to give, and that's a very Christian thing to do.
We're happy with 1%. Hills Radio, we're community, we give back to the community, and we are after little bit of dosheroo.
Everybody's your friend when you got money.
Yeah, Edwin. Yeah. We're buddies here. We'll put you on radio. You can come and ring up Crash and he'll look after you. But no, seriously, congratulations for managing that. And from all accounts, an all-round great guy.
Now, do you know what the answer to the last question, Banjo Patterson, A.B. Patterson, do you actually know what his last name is?
Patterson?
What Patterson's first... First two names are.
Was that a twit question?
Yeah. Well, that would have been interesting, wouldn't it? Do you know what his first two names are? Given the choice of Albert Burke, Andrew Barton, Adam Beaufort, or Adrian Banks.
Ooh, I don't know.
No.
I actually don't.
Mm.
Do you?
Yeah, I do, because I've got the answer. But I did know the answer anyway because I'd looked him up recently. But it's Andrew Barton. So isn't
Andrew
that?
Barton.
We just don't know. Isn't that one of those questions? It's not unrealistic.
You know everything about him, Patterson, Banjo Patterson, all that. But
Man
that's
from
it.
Snowy River, you name it.
Yeah, but you give me his real name.
Yeah,
that's
funny.
Typical because we love nicknames.
We do. Now,
have
speaking
you got
of,
a nickname?
Yeah. Speaking
what
of,
is it?
Speaking of
what
nicknames.
What is it? I can do this for the next five minutes.
We'll have a day on nicknames. So speaking of nicknames, you've got a bird's dinner coming up.
I do.
Which has nothing to do with nicknames, but I want to talk about that with
you. It's Birds of a Feather, and it's our ladies' group. It's a social group, and what our glue is, the Adelaide Football Club, and our love of it.
What do you call it, glue is?
Yeah, the glue is the Adelaide Football Club.
Oh, I thought you said talk about our ears on our head.
Are you
serious? I thought, who's got a glue ear?
See, this is port people for this. Not understanding the anglaise.
This is 10 to 6 at night. So you glue? Yeah.
Yeah, so we've got a function coming up next Wednesday that I'm putting together. I've got two very special guests, but I can't tell you because I like surprising the girls.
Oh.
But we're having it at the Hackney and the food's going to be delicious and the guests are superb. And I've got a little secret treat that I'm going to give each one of them.
As you do.
As I do, because it's actually called, I've called it that F word finals function.
Well, you can, because you're there.
And I did. And it's happening, and so I'm very excited about it.
Mm.
But I'll tell you more next time we get together because I can then reveal who turned up and what happened and what my little secret gift bag
was. I look forward to that.
I'm going
to
do
last
my own
time.
Show bag.
Yeah, well, you do.
That's
you
what
do.
It'll be. It's a little show bag.
Now, last time you donated some good money to some charities. Have you got anything picked out at this stage?
Yeah. When we raise the raffle, we give to ovarian cancer research, given we're a group of ladies, and also to White Ribbon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the two charities we all voted on. We had a choice to pick from, and to each one, everyone loved that, and it's what we give back to the community. We have fun getting together and give back to the community, so there's nothing nicer than
that's
that.
A lovely thing to do.
I know.
Now, the culinary delights that will be on show there, having been through the Prairie Hotel in Parachuna just recently where they...
Wow, did you say that fast? Say that fast.
Prairie Hotel at Parachuna.
Yeah, very good.
And they have on their menu the Feral Mixed Grill, which of course contains kangaroo, camel, goat and emu. Will you get any such thing at the Hackney Hotel?
I'm sorry? First of all, the title, the feral what?
It's called a feral mixed grill, and that's part of the menu.
Is it because it's animals that just run and creatures that run around the backyard of the outback?
I'm quite sure it used to be called the roadkill grill, but they don't anymore.
Do that.
No, well, that's...
Did you have it?
I have had it, but I had a goat dish this time.
You
There's
ate,
lots of goats
you
out there.
You ate of your own kind. How could you do that? Your own people.
So the Hackney doesn't have such animals, so to speak?
No, it's got, we're going to have a choice of chicken, fish and meat and a beautiful entree, and dessert's going to be a full platter of them. So I've got that sorted. Little drink on arrival. You know me. I went out for my birthday the other night and pre-empted that I wanted a margarita.
Yep.
And they had it ready for me when I arrived.
Oh, is that right?
This is where the kilos are coming from, Lee.
And the how many you had, is that just a distant memory?
Well, how many hips have I got now? Oh, that's it, Lee B. We've got to head off. It's been lovely working with you again. Thank you for joining us, and you can catch us here at Hills Tuesday afternoons 4 till 6.
Bye, everybody.